more economic glimmers.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. A few minutes ago, the government reported retail sales rose in May for the first time in 3 months, up 0.5%. The best sellers were gasoline and building materials. Biggest soft spot was electronic goods. The government also says the sales drop in April was not as sharp as first thought. First-time jobless claims eased a little bit last week. New claims for unemployment benefits dropped almost 4% to 601,000. That's better than expected. However, the number of Americans staying on unemployment rose to 6.8 million, and that's the highest on record. And the foreclosure firm RealtyTrack reports this morning foreclosure filings dropped from April to May. But as Ashley Milne-Tite reports, there's not much reason to celebrate.
Foreclosures dropped 6% from April's record high, but May numbers were up 18% from the year before. It's now the third highest foreclosure month on record. Nevada, California, and Florida still have the highest rates in the country. But Rick Sharga of RealtyTrack says foreclosures are going up in states like Idaho, Oregon, and Utah.
The majority of new foreclosures appear to be unemployment related as opposed to the subprime adjustable rate loan problem that we've been dealing with the last couple of years.
Sharga says one in every 398 homes received a foreclosure filing last month. He says the government's initiatives to keep people in their homes haven't had enough time to kick in. RealtyTrack forecasts around 4 million foreclosure filings will be made this year. That's up from 3 million last year. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
European stock markets are mixed this morning. Asian markets ended mixed as well. On Wall Street yesterday, the S&P 500 lost 0.3%, and the Dow gave up 24 points and closed at 8,739. The European Court of Justice has delivered its solemn verdict in a case involving a piece of rabbit-shaped chocolate. It's a trademark case between rival candy makers. Our European correspondent Stephen Beard is here to guide us through this legal warren. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Bill.
What is the fundamental issue here?
Can you trademark a piece of chocolate shaped like a rabbit wrapped in gold foil with a red ribbon around its neck and a bell? The European Court was ruling in a case between a Swiss candy maker, Lindt, and an Austrian firm, Hausverth. Lindt trademarked its chocolate Easter Bunny and then sued Hausverth for producing a similar rabbit-shaped product.
Yes, I've seen them both. They're both adorable. What has the European Court decided, Stephen?
The court, dare I say it, rather fudged the issue. They dealt only with a narrow legal question of, is it legally possible for a company like Lindt to apply for a trademark in bad faith, knowing other companies are already making similar products? They've made that legal ruling and now referred the case back to lower courts. So the fundamental question, can you trademark a piece of chocolate shaped like a rabbit with a ribbon and a bell around its neck, remains unresolved.
And is this just about bunny candy, or does this have implications for other companies?
No, this could actually have quite big implications because three-dimensional trademarks are pretty tricky. The general rule is if your product is shaped the way it is for functional reasons, for example, like a toilet seat, you cannot trademark it. But there have been exceptions. Another candy maker, for example, failed to get protection for a bar of chocolate shaped like a cigar. Now, no obvious matters of functionality there. So this issue is unresolved.
Reporting from Watership Down, Stephen Beard. Thank you.
Okay, Bill.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Trusted Choice, over 10,000 independent insurance agencies across America committed to treating customers as people, not policies. Online at trustedchoice.com. By Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 750,000 tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
The cost of parking in Chicago has as much as quadrupled since the city leased control of its meters to a private company. The deal raises questions about when it makes sense to privatize public services and when it doesn't. From Chicago Public Radio, Adrian Hill reports.
If you want to hear Chicago drivers get all worked up, just ask them about parking meters.
There looks like it's $3.50 an hour, though. What do you think about that?
Oh, that's absurd.
That's Stanley King. He's parking a silver Lexus in Chicago's downtown and trying to figure out how to use one of the new parking meters.
If I only need a half an hour, that's what, $1.75? Seven quarters. How many did that bring?
He calls the city's rush to privatize a joke. And drivers aren't the only ones expressing frustration with the deal, for which the city was paid nearly $1.2 billion. Chicago Mayor Richard Daley's been called out by the city inspector general for rushing the contract that gives control of the meters away for 75 years. But Daley stands by it. He says the money he's made leasing out pieces of the city's infrastructure is essential to Chicago's financial health.
Now, if we didn't have these, if I didn't have the Skyway deal, the parking garages, the parking meters, we'd be in terrible positions.
In addition to leasing some of the city's tollways and parking structures, Daley's also pushed to privatize Midway Airport in a deal that fell through at the last minute because of the collapse in the credit market. It's a rush to sell that Columbia University economist Elliot Sklar calls short-sighted.
You have a government that doesn't want to deal with the question of raising taxes to provide services. So it's essentially, it's a short-run expedient. After they've sold everything off, what do they do in the second year? What's the next act?
Do members of the public ever benefit from these privatization deals in terms of, I mean, do fees actually ever go down when infrastructure is privatized?
Conceptually, anything can happen, but I'm not aware of it.
Sklar says he thinks we'll start seeing a move away from cities and states selling their assets to private companies as the public starts to realize there are things the government can and should do well. In Chicago, I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
And you'll learn more about the Marketplace at our website, marketplace.org. Our question of the day there, will your morals survive the recession? And we discuss. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.